You're listening to Soul Survivors, ESL Teaching and Expat Life in Seoul, Korea.
Podcasting from an undisclosed Starbucks somewhere in Seoul at Seoul Survivors, your weekly source on teaching ESL and living in Seoul. I'm your host, Carl, and with me today is my co-host, Jennifer.
Hi.
I guess we are in Bundang today, I should mention. Yeah, sunny Bundang.
Since you actually record the intro every week, you could have said podcasting from an undisclosed Starbucks location somewhere in Bundang.
I usually do change that when we are in Bundang, but I'm a little bit flustered because I took the bus here and there was a traffic accident, and so, you know.
But it didn't even involve your bus. Come on.
Yes, yeah, thank God for small miracles, I guess. But, yeah, and then I completely bought the wrong snack of the week.
That's the snack of the week?
Yeah, that's our snack of the week.
Well, we all know what it tastes like, so we don't actually have to sample it here.
We'll get to that a bit later. But, so it's gotten quite cold.
It's freezing, says the girl from Louisiana.
From the south, yeah. And it's about freezing. Hmm? It's about freezing.
It's past freezing to me.
Okay, so
I don't really go by what the thermometer says.
Wow. How are you on your metric temperatures?
I know that I'm comfortable in the high 20s or low 30s.
Really? The low 30s?
Yeah. I am from the south. Leave me alone.
Okay.
Depending on the humidity. Like high 20s if it's kind of humid.
Okay.
But if it's drier, then low 30s. Yeah. I'm also a bit of a cold freak.
Oh, I guess at the top of the show, we should announce that your stalker, your Cochise stalker, has announced himself after last show. Yeah, Dan.
Yeah.
He emailed in to say he was the guy
at
Cochise. Said, hi, guys. Guys is gender neutral in Chicago talk. Also in Canada.
Yeah.
Guys, right? I'm the stalker from the Cochise conference. I've always meant to comment on the blog here, but I'm always on the road when listening and not motivated enough to chime in. However, I'd like to pass my kudos on to you too, Carl. It's a fun podcast and I've enjoyed it. Good luck with your move, Dan. Yeah. So if you ever catch this Dan guy, do you know, is that his real name?
Yeah.
Okay, so don't say his last name, but Dan, yes. So if you ever encounter a Dan at Cochise and you enjoy this podcast, and you're enjoying this podcast in the month of January, when I said there would be no podcast, then thank Dan, because it was, I guess, Dan's...
His encouragement that kept it going.
Yes, that sort of made me go, what the hell, let's slog on another month before I pack it up.
It's not like your work schedule is so onerous, you can't... Yeah. Prepare to move while also doing a podcast once a week.
Yeah. You know, we have passed the 50 podcast mark.
Wow.
Last week was actually podcast 50. This would be podcast 51. And but I wasn't going to mention anything until next week when it's podcast 52, where we've done actually a whole year of shows in a year and a quarter, I guess.
Yeah, that's pretty good for most podcasts, though.
Yeah, one of my favorite podcasts, actually. They announced on their 50th show, they were kind of wrapping it up. And I was also thinking, too, 50 is kind of a good number, you know. But again, more tribute to Dan.
So thank you, Dan.
We'll continue on. Yeah. Now, I brought you a little gift here, Jennifer.
Yeah, you did.
They are...
I, too, can channel my inner Billy Idol.
Yeah, magic mini gloves. I bought these at Zellers.
I don't know Zellers.
In Canada. That's like Canada's Walmart.
Oh, so it is one of the happiest places on earth, then.
Right, yeah. And so it's got to have French on it. because it's in Canada.
I love Canadian stuff.
Yeah. Les gants magiques. So magic mini gloves, les gants magiques. Magic gloves. No mini in there, though. Yeah. Unless gants is French for mini gloves, but I don't know.
It seems unlikely that they would have a vocabulary word for that.
Yeah. Now, either the French don't like multiple adjectives in a row, because there's no mini in the French name, or, I mean, look at the French already. It's quite long, right?
Yeah. So, maybe to keep it the same length visually.
Yeah. I found that when I was working tech software. You know, all our documentation was French and English. Yeah. And when when the English translated to French, it was quite noticeably longer. You know, about two pages became at least three in French. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I have a question for you.
These are actually a dollar for two.
Wow.
Yeah, so they were like 50 cents each. So I'm definitely...
50 Canadian cents, although these days that's not quite...
That would be like... That would be
now
like,
you have to say like two New Zealand dollars to mean like a really low price. Or maybe two Hong Kong dollars.
Well, right.
You can't really dog on Canadian dollars anymore, seeing as the U.S. dollar is trying to drop as fast as it can.
It's good for you.
Yeah.
Here in Korea. Yeah. But I like these gloves in wintertime. I'll give them to you. Because... They're just warm enough, and also they're very sort of tight on your skin, and so you can manipulate things like keys.
Indeed, I think I could pick stuff up with these.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You can fish coins out of your pocket, and so they're good in that way. That's why I like them.
And they fit.
Yeah, and they're little and they're black, and I always feel like kind of like a reverse Mickey Mouse, because Mickey Mouse always wears the white gloves. When I wear those black gloves, I want to kind of walk like Mickey Mouse in Steamboat Willie or something like.
Well, and in Korea, you wouldn't really want to wear white gloves because they would just look like the work gloves.
The Ajumma gloves,
yeah. Yes.
The work in Ajumma,
not
or the
to mention
hiking
that
Ajumma.
If you've ever looked at Ajumma gloves, they're not actually white, but they're sole sidewalk gray.
Right. Yeah. But as we were saying in the previous podcast, these are the gloves I would cut the fingers off when I was in high school and make into Billy Idol gloves. I was so cool. Me and my velour. Polyester pants, plastic black dress shoes. Oh man.
Wow.
I was styling.
But you know what has beat those these days? The infomercials. I haven't seen one lately, but for a while they were really having them all over the TV. The men's quote unquote dress pants, like the work slacks.
Okay.
That you could use like a sieve. Like they would put milk in it. And show that, like, the milk would just kind of bead through. Like, it wouldn't just pour through. And then you could just, like, shake them off and they're ready to go.
Right. So dress
so
pants,
really,
they don't
seriously
stain,
wash and
they
wear.
Don't wrinkle.
Yeah.
Well, this is actually perfect because where people are inclined to sort of sleep in their work clothes at a bus stop.
Yeah.
Right? You want to look fresh, when you wake up that morning on the bus stop in your suit and just go back into work. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
But I just can't imagine wearing something that completely humanly manufactured on your skin.
Snack of the week. Honest God, I did not think this was soju. Because I found it in the convenience store.
You did a flask.
But I know. Well, that I thought was the magic. I thought because it was right next to the yogurt.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm
fermented.
Like. And then next to some juice boxes that also said Jinro on it. And
soju juice boxes are perhaps the greatest invention in the history of the world.
So there's no way I could have ever imagined this was actually soju. I just thought this was bizarre packaging. It's like it's some clear fruit beverage.
Okay.
Right. That just happens to look like it's
cool
in this
piss,
cool...
for example.
Exactly. Right. It just happens to look like it's in this calipus. Isn't it called calipus? Or cool piss?
Oh, does that have a name other than flask?
Yeah. But yeah, there is some clear fruit beverage these days that the kids all seem to love.
Yeah. Oh, it was something water. Because I know that it always made me think of urine.
Okay.
I don't remember what it's called.
Yeah. So I bought it thinking, it's got to be some bizarre little beverage that's not soju. But yeah, but you've confirmed it is in fact soju.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. But,
The soju juice boxes, I think, is such a great... Korean invention, because it's something you think it's for a kid.
Okay.
And then it's what, like 40 proof or 60 proof, something like that.
I don't know if they even ever list what it is.
Oh, some of them do.
Why does it only has two English words on it?
Fresh.
Or at least two, bamboo charcoal agitation. All right, and then the word marrying. Look at the third line. It says marrying.
Okay.
Yeah, marrying what? If you want to get married, it's good for marrying. You know, make some ice cubes out of it, throw it in your date's drinks.
It is, in fact, 19.8% alcohol.
Really? Okay.
So I can't remember. Does that makes it 40 proof, right?
Yeah, double it.
Yeah.
Proof, yeah.
Okay.
What's a Jack Daniels?
Is it?
I know. What's Jack Daniels?
Proof?
You're from Louisiana. You must have a good...
Jack Daniels is not from Louisiana.
Well, it's
I don't know,
the same
80, Baton Rouge. 80 proof, maybe?
I don't know. No. Kentucky. Where's Kentucky? Is that Kentucky? Is that in the South?
No.
No? Kentucky's not part of the South?
Kentucky's only part of the South if you're from the North.
Okay. Michigan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. Kentucky is one of those kind of iffy states that, again, the North considers the South, but as someone from a Gulf state, I do not consider the South.
Okay, cool. All right. Yeah.
Tennessee and Kentucky are where sour mash beverages are manufactured.
Okay. Kentucky bourbon.
Yeah.
All right. We've now put the soju away. This is the main topic section, but I've discreetly put the soju into my backpack. So.
You know, I've had Irish coffee at Korean coffee shops, like back before they had Starbucks and all that.
All right.
When a coffee shop was a tabang.
Okay.
And seriously, I would not have been surprised if it was coffee, like mixed coffee that they'd thrown a little soju in.
So you really?
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
I was thinking about making myself a smart toffee nut. Latte and
is that what you got?
Yeah, the toffee nut latte.
Is it tasty?
Not really, but you get a little stamp card.
I get a stamp card too.
Yeah, and if you buy three toffee nut lattes plus like a gazillion normal coffees, then you get the Starbucks planner.
Oh, is that what the special stamp is for? The special color of
yes.
the cup. Okay.
Yeah.
See, because Friday I went to Starbucks and bought coffee for everyone at work. So I had four coffees.
Okay.
So I guess not everyone, but you know, whatever. Four of us.
Okay.
And there was a stamp card on the counter, but one was not offered to me.
Ah.
So I was like, so unfair.
Man.
But yeah. Since I'll never buy the toffee nut, it doesn't really matter, I guess.
Our main topic, what was it last week we did? What was our main topic last week?
That's a good question.
I can't remember. I'm the one who's adding soju to my coffee in the morning. How am I supposed to remember? Our main topic, I think, same but different.
Yeah.
Things. And that's what I always liked about when I came here as a tourist. You know, there were a lot of things that are very similar, but then there was a little difference. Yeah. Because, you know, it's like when you go to a mall, right?
Yeah.
You know, in any city.
It's a mall.
It's the same stores in every single mall, right? You know, there's the Banana Republic, and there's the Gap, and there's the It store. And Do you have It stores in America?
No, but malls are all the same.
All right, the card shop.
The slightly more upscale ones will have slightly more higher-end stuff mixed with the regular stuff, and the lower-end stuff will have the lower-end stores mixed with the regular stuff. Yeah, they're all pretty much the same.
There's high class women's shoes and there's a hoochie shoe stores.
You can sort of judge, like, if there's a Fredericks of Hollywood, maybe it's a lower end mall.
Yeah. You know, at a lot of malls, those shoe stores, I mean, unless they're sort of a brand name, like, you know, Capizio or whatever, then they're actually all owned by the same company.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, and that way, they're just trying to segment the market, you know, so.
Well, like fast food companies, I think except for McDonald's and maybe Burger King, they're all pretty much owned by one company.
That's right. PepsiCo owns a lot.
Yeah.
But so same but different. Just a little twists on things. And I think the one people really notice the most probably is little cans of Coke. You know, when you buy a can of Coke, it's not like a normal 355 milliliter can.
Right.
It's like this little tiny
two something.
Yeah, it's like this
little 275
pencil thin little can.
Which I like, because in America, if you get a small can, it's just a half height can. It's just the regular width.
Ah, right.
Okay. Although I guess that would still fit in your drink cup holder in your car. So it's always an important consideration.
Well, cans are all like kind of like the cans you get on like airplanes or something.
Yeah.
Those kinds of things.
Right.
Yeah. So that's always kind of cute. And one thing I noticed, especially today with the cold, is hen dryers and washrooms usually blow cold air. Have you noticed this?
They do, which I always thought was, you know, a pretty clever way to save a little money and, you know, energy. Because who really needs a big blast of hot air in the summer on their hands?
Yeah. You know. Well, it is nice, though, in... actually, in summer it's good because the hot air, because one, it rains and you get really wet, you know. So it's nice to have the hot air to dry parts of yourself off.
Yeah.
And also, too, you know, you sweat a lot. And then you just want to, like, dry your shirt off under the, you know, the hand dryer in the. But if it's blowing cold air, it's not going to dry your sweat. So, but if you kind of look behind the thing, sometimes there's a switch where you can toggle it to, you can toggle it to hot. I found I had to do that a lot. Yeah. So, hand dryers. A lot of these things we've actually probably talked about, but never sort brought all together in one big omnibus.
Yeah.
You know?
This is maybe slightly off the topic, but on my way over here, I passed by a restaurant a couple doors down, and it's called Better Than Pasta.
Better Than Pasta.
And the picture in the window is
that we sex then.
Right.
Okay.
The picture in the window is bibimbap. So I guess what's better than pasta? Rice.
Actually, okay. All right.
So there's a little twist.
There you go. So in Korea, yeah. All right. Man. But movie theaters are always another sort of charming twist on things.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one thing are the assigned seating.
Yes, which I really like.
Kate, now you do like that.
Well, because when I lived in Chunju, I always harken back. But people who live in Chunju now are probably like, what is she talking about? Because this is almost 10 years ago, and it's really completely changed. But when I lived in Chunju, anybody who asked for a ticket got one.
Okay.
And so I watched The Matrix, for example, standing like it was on the Green Line on a Saturday afternoon.
All right.
Seriously, no one could even sneeze because they didn't have the room to like lean forward and sneeze.
Wow.
You know, it was horrible. And also, even if you had a seat, people would start coming in 15 minutes before the end so they could start staking out the seats they wanted in the next one. But of course, they're not watching the one that's showing, so they're talking on the phone with their friend to while away the time.
Sure.
While the movie's wrapping up.
Ah, so there's sort of a whole logic to that.
Yeah, so I really like the assigned seats. And at the CGV that's really big near me, since some people in Korea have a hard time standing in line appropriately, they have a number machine.
Right, yes, the number machine's good, yes.
So I like that too.
Right, nobody and sort of butt-spearing you while you're lining up, which I hate.
But I do not like the fact that you have to be Korean in order to buy tickets online.
Right, yes.
Because that's not fair.
Yeah. That's the downside of the assigned seating is, if like a new movie, you know, opening weekend, if you want to get really good seats, you have to maybe buy it a week in advance.
Yeah.
Which means you're kind of screwed if you can't buy it online.
Right.
You can, a lot of times you can go to the theater, you know.
Yeah, and wait in line for 45 minutes to buy your ticket for the movie for next week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But you know what I do think is funny about that, though, is when they pull out the actual seat chart, like it's a concert.
Oh, right, okay.
You know, and they're like, which section would you like a seat in? Here's some nice seats available. Would you like these seats over here? I'm like, I'm not camping out overnight for, you know, really great concert tickets. It's a movie. Whatever. As long as I'm not, like, behind a pillar.
Right in front,
Yeah, first row.
Oh, right. Man. But now, I remember in North America, you know, I'm a lonely type, you know, so I've got nothing to do with my life. So I would, like, just go an hour before the movie I wanted to see started, and I would go alone.
And it's at the mall, so you buy your tickets, and then you go shopping.
Exactly. So you get your ticket, you get to the theater an hour ahead of time, walk right in, get your seat, read a newspaper, read some magazines, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
So for people kind of like to do that, you know, that's sort of a, that's the downside. But, yeah, I guess I have come to appreciate the seating system.
Yeah.
Squid, you can buy squid at the concession stand.
Nothing quite so delicious as some squid and some Bontegi. Oh, I have a Bontegi story.
Oh, Bontegi, okay. which is the
silkworms.
The insects they serve, yeah.
One of my students came in and we were looking, it was science class, and she had the stages of a butterfly.
All right.
And I was like, pointing to the larva, and she's like, ooh, larva. I was like, oh, do you like Bontegi? She's like, yeah. I was like, isn't that larva? And she was like, no, that is pupa. I mean, seriously, like, of course I would eat a pupa, but a larva, that's the most disgusting thing ever.
I would never eat sausage, but I would eat sundae.
Right.
Fast food restaurants.
You can't get a quarter pounder with cheese.
Right. Okay.
They only have one size of patty.
Yeah. I think it's changed a bit now. I think now you can get large fries.
Yeah. Well, you can always get large fries. It's just not the large American.
Okay.
So whatever the size is, it's one size down in the U.S.
Right.
So, for example, what we would call a medium in the U.S. is a large here.
Okay. Right. So, yeah. So if you order a...
So you can't get 8 pounds of fries in one order.
Right. If you order like a meal... What they call a setta.
Yeah.
If you order a setta, you get like the little the paper fry size.
At Burger King.
And McDonald's.
Oh, I don't know. McDonald's gets the carton.
Oh, okay. All right. I don't eat at McDonald's that often. Okay. Right. You can go to Burger King. Right. It's the little paper fries, which is usually the small fries.
It's still a large portion though.
Yeah.
It's just because it's in paper, it's still really big.
Right. But
not big like American fries.
Not compared
sizes.
To your super size fries, right? Yeah.
It's not the one that's like as tall as your cup.
Exactly. Like a big gulp of fries.
It's what it is.
And that's your small.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the last time I went home, I was shocked by the largest size of fries available.
Really?
It was really like the size of a 32-ounce cup.
Wow. But they are changing, though, because I noticed at Burger King today, I went to Burger King for lunch, and I noticed at Burger King, they have now a double Whopper with cheese.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, $7 for the set menu.
That's probably not much more than it would be at home.
Well, yeah, I mean, make your own hamburger at home, it costs you $12, I think.
At home in the States. If we were to get a double Whopper with cheese, it's not that much cheaper in the States.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's the recycling.
Yes.
Yeah, which I like.
Yeah.
Don't you find that when you go home and you're just, like, throwing your Burger King...
I'm, like, looking over my shoulder, like...
Exactly.
Who's going to come and scold me?
Yeah.
I'm putting all of my trash in one container and the cup.
I know, it's like
right
weird.
In the trash.
Yeah, you're just like, what's going on?
The little girl making 2001 an hour is going to come and scold me.
Yeah.
Or, you know, thank me politely as she sticks her hand in and pulls it out.
Yeah, more the case, yeah. So that's always sort of weird. You, when you go home, you're just like, you feel quite guilty. Just like, this is all just going into the trash.
Or, yeah, like when you just throw all your stuff in the trash at home.
Yeah.
When you go home. I'm like, wait, I need to have my paper trash and I need to have my plastics trash.
And one thing I like to, but the, if you go to Loteria, is they have the Mulhugi machines.
Yes, I don't go to Loteria.
Oh, you should. I love Loteria. But,
why?
That's just
there's
one of those.
There's nothing to love about it.
Oh, like, oh, and oh, it's cheap and greasy and disgusting.
I think it's completely made in the microwave. I sincerely would not be surprised if their hamburgers were the kind that you get in the freezer department for the, like, single guys, you know?
I don't care. I just go in and get my Seiyu Bugaseta, like, you know, and you go out for lunch and it's like $3.80 and it's like, oh.
I dare you to go there and get the spam burger set.
Oh, no.
Actually, I wonder if they even still sell that, because that was the IMF set. So I bet they don't even sell it anymore.
I did see a place, what was it? Rice Pam. It's called Rice Pam. So basically, like kind of the sushi rice, with some of the seaweed wrapping a slice of Spam.
Wow.
Yeah. Whoa. I want to take a picture, but...
I thought you meant that it was like a can. Instead of being Spam, it was rice Spam. So like in case your Spam didn't have enough filler in it, it could be mixed also with rice.
No. Yeah. I was going to take a picture, but my underwear was falling down. The Korean underwear, the waistbands don't last very long here. After a few washings, it begins to get kind of loose. And depending how you're kind of sitting and then getting up, it can kind of start the whole creeping down process. And that is profoundly disturbing. Like, you know, you got pants on, thank God. But it's just like...
Indeed.
What's going on here? So I sort of had to find a bathroom quick to sort of...
Oh, come on. It's Korea. You could just dig your hands in your pants.
Oh, yeah. You're right. I could have just dropped my drawers. I dropped my underwear. Exactly. Because, yeah. So no problem. Like, you know, ajushis, just they whip it out and they urinate wherever.
No problem, whatever. Yeah.
Against a school fence. You know?
Yeah. Or, you know, on the side of the road, facing traffic. Why not?
And, if you go to, like, not so much Burger King or McDonald's, but Loteria is definitely a leader in it, where they give you, if you're eating in, they put it all on, like, glass plates and glass bowls. Yeah, fine china. Buckles on fine china.
Fine china, yeah. Loteria.
Yeah. So
the crappiest fast food available on nice dishes.
This is why I like it so much. You get really nice fine china. Yeah. And we've noted too before that, like, yeah, if you go to Burger King or even Starbucks now, they give you like a really nice plastic cup for your cold beverages, and it is not to be interpreted as a collector cup.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Exactly. So you have to watch that.
Actually, I noticed even downstairs today they. I had a little mention about the plastic cold cups.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
The ones I like stealing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe you're not the only one.
Oh, probably not, yeah. I only took one. Just one.
Just one.
But look, where are we? Starbucks. A fine place to get a cup of joe in Korea. There we go. I earned it. All right. So for our 300 listeners, what's our CPM, the cost per mil? I'll calculate that.
Okay, all right. Do that.
Figure out their CPM. TV commercials. I never noticed this until I read an article about it. But a lot of programs, they run the TV commercials between the shows.
You didn't notice it maybe because it's only on network television.
We're largely network television, but some of the cable stations still, I would notice, would hold to that.
Yeah, well, what I like is even if they have it in the middle, what they do is they have a crap load between the shows
then
one commercial break in the middle.
Right, yeah.
I quite like that. It's like it was in Germany, when I was in Germany.
I first noticed that, I think, when I was watching, it was like Star Trek, one of the generations.
Sure.
Yeah, Space Nine, or Deep Space Nine, one of those. They're running it. And, and Star Trek's really well edited the stories for the commercial break.
Yeah.
They end on a cliffhanger, like, you know, the Romulan warbird is about to just open up on Deep Space Nine, and their shields are down, and, you know, their engineer is unconscious, and...
So it's not so much of a cliffhanger when it immediately goes on to the next scene.
Yeah, and then put into the next scene, you're not waiting for a commercial. Oh, God, you know, how are they going to get out of this, you know? And, like,
woke up.
Yeah, the Thalorians have come and used their, you know, plasmatic web and repolarized the gravitons. And,
yeah.
Why didn't I think of that?
You know what it made me realize? I've been here the whole length of the reality TV thing, and that is sort of my crack. So I do watch them, even the ones that I think are really crappy.
Okay.
But when you don't have commercials in the middle, you see how much they recycle footage. Like, they will sincerely play an entire minute or two
of
footage that
they roll
played
it back. Yeah.
Before and after the supposed commercial break.
Yeah. But now I did read something in the news about how they're redoing the broadcast law. So they will be able to play
commercials. They want to, but there is some sort of like society for the freedom of TV viewers.
Really?
Something. They're complaining that it's interfering with their constitutional rights to watch TV uninterfered with by commercials.
Yeah, you know, at the end of the day, if you have to watch broadcast TV, I don't mind the commercials because then you can get up and go to the bathroom. You know, you can like fold your laundry during the commercials. You can.
And really, does it really ruin your life to have a commercial in the middle?
No, not really.
Especially, I mean, broadcast TV, it's free, people.
Yeah.
You know.
Anyway. Department stores, two things about department stores. One, they always have like the food thing in the basement.
Yeah, the grocery store in the basement. Yeah. But they do that in Europe too.
Okay, all right. Not so much in North America.
No.
It all depends, but yeah.
Unless you consider Walmart a department store.
Right. Okay. and very overstaffed.
Incredibly, like. Think of some sort of commission-based area of a department store in the States.
Right.
Triple, quadruple, quintuple their staff at Christmas.
Right.
And that is the daily staff throughout the entire store.
Right, yeah.
In a department store. Yeah, there's got to be at least two people in every aisle just standing there to bow to you.
Oh, and follow you.
Follow you.
Like a hawk.
Yeah.
Just like rubbing up against you.
Yeah.
You know. And the moment you touch anything, they show you where it is hanging. So you can kind of see it.
Yeah.
Like, because we're kind of used to just like pulling things off the shelves and looking at them.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah. But then here it's like there are things on the shelves, but then they have their
show.
Yeah. They're having their hanging display things. And you are to look at the hanging display things.
Without touching.
Yeah. So
even breathing too closely.
That freaks me out. And
yeah.
Vastly overpriced, largely.
Yeah. The $60 t-shirts that are just, you know, your basic Hanes.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
A plain white dress shirt, you know, $100.
Yeah.
And I guess.
And
you know,
see-through.
Yeah.
You know?
I think there's like maybe status something, you know.
Oh, I'm sure. You know, you can carry around the bag that says.
They have lovely bags, lovely shopping bags, yeah. And they'll wrap things.
Yes.
They're very good with the wrapping.
Yes.
I can't wrap. Would you believe it? I can't open bags. So you can imagine me like wrapping Christmas presents, Jennifer.
And they bow to you a lot. So, you know, there's a little bit of ego stroking when you go there.
They don't bow to you so much in the fast food restaurants anymore.
Yeah.
They used to.
The last time I was at McDonald's, they did not shout goodbye as I left.
Ooh.
Yeah.
They're supposed to shout goodbye. Yeah.
I know. They're supposed to all stop what they're doing and shout goodbye.
You're supposed to get a little goodbye.
I'm so offended. I don't know if I can go back.
There's no goodbye.
I just wanted to turn around and shout goodbye at them so they'd realize how rude they were being.
Any other little things? You know, I do like the road construction signs. They always have like the cute little comic character with the drunk red nose. Like, you know, there's road construction. Have another shot.
If you have had another shot, try not to hit the guy working.
Yeah, they definitely have a lot of like cute little comic book characters for things, especially the police. The police one is the best because, you know, it's because the police, I think, at some level should appear like
authoritarian,
you know. But here they're like, again, like a little guy with a little red nose and like, you know, I'm 2 feet tall. You know, no criminal could possibly
listen to me or else.
Exactly.
Yeah. Doctors in hospitals are different.
How so?
First of all, you don't need an appointment. It's all like walk-in.
Okay.
Which I kind of like
because, okay.
You know, it's really annoying in the States when, like, you've got something that's basically a really nasty cold.
Okay.
But you want to get something that's stronger than over-the-counter.
All right.
And they're like, we can see it 2 weeks from Thursday. You're like,
okay.
Great. Awesome. I'll just hold on to this cold until then. So here, the walk-in doctors is nice. It's also dirt cheap.
Okay.
I basically just have, like, get hit by a bus insurance.
Right, yes.
I don't
yes.
have the national insurance.
Right.
Because, you know, I don't go to the doctor that often.
Okay.
So, and it's only, like, 10,000 won for a doctor visit without insurance.
All right.
Prescriptions are dirt cheap. And when I went to the emergency room, because I got sick on Chuseok a year ago. And so, of course, like, all the doctors were closed except
right.
for the emergency room.
Okay.
So I went to the emergency room, and the woman almost did not want to let me see somebody. She was like, this is the emergency room. It's very expensive. And I was like, right. You can hear that I can't talk.
Right.
You can see that, like, my glands are swollen the size of walnuts.
Okay.
I've accepted that I'm going to pay more than I should.
All right.
But I really need to see someone today.
Okay.
Okay, so the emergency room visit, IV bag, test, shot, you know, all the bells and whistles, 100,000 won.
100 bucks, yes.
100 bucks. Now, in America, I think you might be able to use the toilet in the hospital for maybe, like, we'll say $500.
Right.
But if you want them to actually do some paperwork on you or, you know, look at your throat or something,
right.
Yeah, more than that,
wow.
For sure.
Remember when I was, you know, in Seattle, and I was in the hospital in Seattle. You know, in Canada, you just walk in, walk out.
Because y'all are a nice country.
Show them your health card. That's the extent of it. But here, they actually send you a bill. Or not here, but in Seattle, they would send you a bill. I mean, your insurance was covering it, but they still sent you the actual itemized bill.
Yeah, you need that proof.
Yeah, and I'm like, I didn't understand it at first, especially when went in for a CT scan and, you know, had a lung biopsy and, you know, and they're sending me this bill and it's like $30,000.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, do I gotta pay for that? You know, and then there's like some like there's like the rack rate and there's like some other rate, which I guess your insurance company negotiates. So it's, you know, like $30,000 rack rate, but then, you know, the insurance company negotiated rates like $20,000. Still a big hunk of change.
Yeah.
So, you know, I call my insurance company. I'm like, how much of this do I have to pay? And they're like, oh, nothing. I'm like, oh, why are you sending it to me? Just because. I'm like, okay. But yeah, so that was kind of fascinating, you know, as a Canadian.
Oh, yeah.
Seeing a bill.
I bet the doctor, like, said, oh, Canadian. Well, I think you need an MRI. There's some experimental tests they're doing out of Europe I could do on you.
I remember my boss at the time, this was the first job he's had in a long time where he had really proper health insurance. So he went to the doctor, and now we had really great health insurance at the .com, you know, and private room, you know.
Yeah.
And so he went to the doctor, and he's just like, just give me every test you can possibly give me, you know, like anything you can justify, I want it. Like, is that a cough? No. We better MRI your lung.
Yeah, I used to work at an MRI place.
Oh, really?
And,
okay. Totally illegal in Canada.
Joined with it. Oh, and it was doctor owned. It was the most incredible conflict of interest ever.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yeah. It was a consortium of doctors locally. And seriously, 95% of the patients came from those doctors. And we joined with another MRI place that did a bunch of other tests, too.
All right.
And employee benefits where you could have any test done for free.
Sweet.
And we had one of the little other office workers with me. I think she had every single test done.
Nice.
Like, every single day, she would go and get some kind of test done.
Why not?
Right, it's free.
I hate myself and I want to die. English T-shirt finds.
English T-shirt finds. This one. It's kind of a crappy photo because I sort of saw it outside of a subway, standing on a subway platform, looking out the window, and it was sort of in the distance. So I zoomed in. Now it's the Hooters eagle.
Yeah.
With, like, you know, the Hooters has the O's for the I's. But instead of Hooters, it says boor.
As in, you're such a boor.
Exactly. Which is like, I'm like, this is on the side of a truck. Not on, like, a T-shirt you would buy in, like, a, you know, a funky store.
Yeah.
Kind of. You know how they do that instead of craft? It's the logo, but it's crap, you know?
Yeah.
No, this is, like, some company.
Yeah. Called Boer.
But I'm thinking, you know, if a place where you would be a boer would be, you know, Hooters. You go in there, and that's a place to be a boer. You would find boers, you know? So, I inquired around, and I guess it's just some frozen chicken company. You know, they deliver frozen chickens to...
And their mascot is an owl.
Of course.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Because maybe it's not really chicken.
Well, let's hope it's not owl.
It's just whatever bird wanders into their little trap. Now, one of our listeners, I hesitate to mention his name because he's got a very unique first name, and that might give things away.
You could use his initials.
I'll just say O.
Okay.
O. There's not too many O names either.
Okay.
All right. So anyways, he sent me this photo. We talked about this a long time ago, too drunk to F. And I saw it on a kind of a woman in her late 20s, very kind of conservative, dressed, you know, like
the best kind,
you know, long sort of plaid skirt. I don't know, that kind of woman. And but she was wearing this T-shirt, you know, too drunk to F. And I thought, oh, that's kind of funny. Maybe she doesn't really know what she's wearing.
Yeah, it is a song.
Really?
Yeah.
What, a Dead Kennedy song? Or?
No. It's a German woman, kind of heavy metal. Doro Pesch.
Nina Hagen?
No, I don't, Doro Pesch.
Okay. And, yeah. So our listener, he found this, but it was on a schoolboy.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Next, it'll be an Anajima, and then the trifecta will have been completed.
Anajima. Schoolboy. I don't know. And there's in Myeongdong, they're opening up a couple new donut places.
Good, we need some more donut places.
Exactly. And one place they're opening up, it's called Southern Made. And I looked this up on the internet, and it's not kind of just some Korean invention.
It is actually. But you know what it sounds like? It sounds like one of those cheap, crappy brands that maybe isn't an A-level brand, maybe it's a B-level brand. Like, you can buy it in the places that don't sell the best stuff.
Well, this this I guess is sort of like the Krispy Kreme, but like the competitor from the south. It is a legitimate donut chain.
See, I would think it's like their lesser cousin competitor.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, but the colors and the logo is all very Krispy Kreme too. And but if you look at this, don't think Korean knockoff of. This is actually a real American South knockoff of or something. I don't know. But I guess I was researching on their website. I do research, especially where donuts are concerned. That I guess the Elvis wrote a song for them.
Oh, really?
So they're a very storied donut chain, and they're coming to Koreafy. Like,
indeed.
But on their sign, they say they not only offer magic donuts, like magic gloves. What would be?
Magically delicious, made by elves.
Oh, no, what's donuts in French? Les donuts magiques. I forgot what donuts are in French. They got to have a bizarre name.
Oh, yeah, because they can't just use a loan word.
Yeah.
Or in Canada, can they?
What?
Use a loan word?
A loan word? No, not in French. No.
Really? So even
especially Canadian French.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Being they are an island of French in a big, evil English world that just understands take. Do you think for a moment, Jennifer, the good people of Quebec would ever allow so much as one English word into their vocabulary?
Sorry. I think Cajuns are kind of open to it.
They shall not pass. No. As they would say. A very just defiant no. What were we talking about? Donuts, yeah.
Donuts.
So yeah.
Magic
so,
donuts.
The marshmallow. The French have a word for marshmallow. It's guimauve.
But marshmallows are real thing.
Donuts are not real?
What are you suggesting,
Jennifer?
There's a marshmallow plant that was existed before there was marshmallow squishy sugar. It's nothing resembling food marshmallow.
All right. I'll have to research this.
Okay.
Right. Jury's still out, in my opinion. Yeah. So they offer les donuts magiques. But then they offer this thing called kolache. Kolache. Kolache.
I thought it was kolaki.
Kolaki,
whatever.
That's how you would pronounce it. Do you know these things?
I relatively.
All right. Yeah. Because I'm like, is that just some Korean made-up word, like, before I realized that this was, like, a real...
Kalich.
Yeah. So, Wikipedia. Always go to Wikipedia first. It'll give
best.
You the straight deal. Yeah, so, kolache, kolachi, kolaki. I guess it's like a Danish. It's like Czech Danish that somehow has been adopted by the South, America's South. It's kind of
anything that involves pastry and sweetened filling and frying.
Okay.
Very popular in the South.
In the South, okay. I remember I used to work with a woman from the South in Seattle. And where was she from? Arkansas?
Sure.
No, sorry, Nebraska. Is that in the South?
No.
Okay.
Nebraska's in the Midwest.
All right. Well, she said, in Nebraska, we had a saying, if it's not fried, it's not good. But she would say it in like a little kind of, what to me was a Southern accent. If it's not fried, it's not good. That's as best as I can do.
That does seem like a Southern saying. Maybe she was not originally from Nebraska.
All right. Yeah. I don't know. So, well, here it says Nebraska. Prague, Nebraska is commonly known as the home of the world's largest kolache. Glocky. But then Fayetteville, Texas claims the title of the kolache, glocky, capital of Texas.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are there a lot of Texas towns fighting for that title?
I don't know. Yeah. So somehow some sort of Czech import into. Yeah. And if you look at page 2 on our agenda, Jennifer.
I'm sorry.
On page 2.
I'm going.
Page 2.
Slowly.
Yeah. There's another donut place in Myeongdong opening up called Donut Plant, New York City.
Factory and, good.
Yeah. Well, it's a bit of a misnomer because, you know, there's that other place we go by Gangnam all the time. I always sort of stop and kind of
and
like...
Laugh.
No, not laugh. I sort of, like, I get meek in the knees. I get weak in the knees as I go by the Dono Studio.
Well, no, I think that's only since you tasted their donuts. Before you tasted them, you would just kind of laugh.
Well, no, what really made me want to try them is when they had the little advertisement for, like, donuts where you dip into ice cream. The little mini donuts and a bowl of ice cream. And then I'm
which
just like...
Which does sound something very Southern as well.
Yeah, which is fine. They're just straight on us. None of this healthy lady donuts, right?
Unless it's a green tea donut.
Yeah.
That you're dipping in green tea ice cream.
Yeah.
For the well-beingness of dipping something fried into a big ball of frozen lard.
So I'm thinking the donut plant is also like the Dono Studio, which I did try. And Jennifer... Now, in food service, the terms, you know, artisan and craft are abused kind of wildly. You know, craft beer, artisan bread. But you can legitimately use those terms for these donuts, Jennifer. They are truly craft donuts, artisan donuts.
La, 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 la. I don't hear you.
Oh, next time we will go. I'm buying. Oh, my God.
They're I just, really don't need to know about more delicious fried sugar-coated foods.
Simply amazing. Kraft donuts. And so now they appear to be opening up a competing chain in Myeongdong, which I'm much closer to. So that's good or bad. But yeah, they're good. And I've been noticing this one thing, too, where they're sort of re-importing Asian food into Korea, but with a North American kind of cachet.
Because that just makes it so much better.
Yeah. So, like, there's, like, you know, Dubu.
Yeah.
There's that tofu restaurant, the BSD. Well, I think it's, like, Berkeley Standard Distribution, BSD. I think it's a form of Unix, BSD. I don't know what BSD really means, but there's BSD... Dubu House, tofu restaurant called BSD, but they advertise themselves as being in Los Angeles Tofu House. But I mean, that's kind of Korean tofu restaurants, you know. But, and then there's like the California sushi restaurant, which California roll.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well.
Okay, California roll, not really sushi.
Yeah, but that's kind of an Asian sushi, right? Have you ever heard Koreans lay claim to the invention of sushi?
I'm sure.
Yeah. I heard Koreans claim.
When I studied Korean, my teachers told us that the wheel, eyeglasses, and a couple of other things were all invented in Korea. But They just did not get the proper recognition.
Okay. World peace was invented.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, but yes. So, and then a couple. So you got the, yeah, you got the covering. And then I noticed, and this one isn't actually Korean food, unless Koreans are taking claim to it. But teriyaki.
Yeah.
See, Seattle teriyaki. Teriyaki from Seattle.
Seattle, the heart of Japan.
Yeah, not from, yeah, from the heart of Japan, Seattle. Now, I will admit, there are a lot of teriyaki places in Seattle. Well, that one thing that really surprised me when I went to move to Seattle. Yeah, I mean, of course you expect Starbucks everywhere, but literally next to every Starbucks, there's like a teriyaki place. And even more interesting, they're all almost run by Koreans, not by Japanese. It's kind of a, you know, if you want to immigrate to America, you can come in on like an investor visa.
Yeah.
And you got to invest like, I don't know, $500,000 or something like that. So a lot of Koreans sort of come with, you know, starting a business and I guess, you know, set you up in a teriyaki place or something like that. So, yeah, a little turnkey concept.
But I wonder how much American teriyaki even resembles Japanese food.
I have no idea.
Because I don't think that Japanese food really has that much really sweet stuff.
No.
Like teriyaki, it kind of...
It is sweet, yeah.
Yeah, like bulgogi.
Smoky sweet.
Yeah,
it's good.
So, I don't know. I can see it suiting Koreans more than Japanese, maybe.
It was cheap, too, teriyaki in Seattle. It's kind of a cheap, quick food. And then, and this place, I mean, not changing topics a little bit, but there's a place in Hongdae called Toronto Bagel Cafe.
Okay.
Now, if you're talking bagels, like, you know, good bagels, like in America you would say like New York bagels, right? New York bagel, right? The equivalent of that would be Montreal bagels, Montreal-style bagels. Montreal is synonymous with bagels, cheesecake, smoked meat.
Okay.
Which I think you'd call maybe pastrami or something in America, smoked meat, similar. Right. Toronto, not famous for their bagels.
Okay.
Not really famous for any food.
Korea, also not famous for bagels.
Yeah, exactly. So I always sort of laugh when I see the Toronto Bagel Cafe, you know.
Not to say it is kind of annoying when you go to a place, even like Starbucks, and you ask for a bagel, and it's just a donut-shaped piece of baked bread.
Ah, yes. Right.
A bagel is actually not just a piece of baked bread. It's not a donut-shaped roll.
I remember the ice storm they had in Montreal where, you know, I mean, the whole power grid was taken down for like 2 weeks, you know, but they still got their bagels out. You know, they hooked up the generators and were still making bagels. So, yeah. All right. Know your Konglish. This is pretty easy.
Yeah.
Bang King.
Yeah. Thank you.
Banking. Yeah, just banking. But shouldn't they have an indigenous Korean word? Because unhang is bank. Unhang hada. I don't know. Wouldn't that be?
Something like that. Yeah. Of course they've got a Korean word. It's just when they're trying to sell you some new service, it sounds so much fancier if they call it banking. Like VIP banking.
Bips banking.
Queen kiss to the darndest things.
Queen kiss to the darndest things. I've got these two twin girls, and they're not identical twins. They're fraternal twins. And one's quite tall and one's sort of short. But they only have one backpack. And when they walk, they each hold one handle to the backpack. You know? But they're also trying to go at different speeds. So they're always kind of like, you know, like almost like a three-legged man race or something like that. They walk with all the coordination of... It's quite hilarious. But, you know, and they sit together and in class and, you know, they fight constantly.
Yeah.
And when you ask them questions, you know, like about themselves, you know, like, who is your favorite uncle? The next one's always like, same.
Oh, okay.
There was one thing about girl has an evil brother. So they have my takeout separately into the hall. So I asked one, is your sister evil? And one girl's like, she is a little evil. Okay, I will not tell your sister. Then the other sister I take out in the hall, is your sister evil? She is very evil. So one has a good heart and one has the evil twin.
Man. Yeah, I used to teach some twins that one would kind of study and the other one would, I think she would like try to forget.
What's that?
I think she would try to forget. Like not only would she not study, but I think she was actively trying to be worse.
Oh, okay.
From week to week. And they would kind of make me nuts. Also because like they would take turns being responsible for packing the bags. Instead of packing their own bag each, one would pack both bags.
Okay.
And the one who had to pack both bags invariably would shortchange the other one on something. Not pack them a pencil case, not pack them the correct books, like
right.
Something.
And this would just start a nasty fight, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this went on for over a year, like yeah. This weekly little thing.
Because one kid gets something a little bit more, a little bit less here, and it's just, oh my God, it's the end of the freaking world.
Yeah.
Man. But I mean, that's like, I think the, you know, kind of the Confucian system, you know, well, how do you know your place in the hierarchy? You're getting more, you're getting less. So
yeah.
If you're getting obvious evidence, you're getting less. That's not a good indication about your place in society. I don't know.
Yeah.
And, you know, my listening class, which is the easiest class in the world to teach, because you're just turning a CD player or a tape player on and off.
How do you stay awake?
I know. And we got a new teacher, and she has to sort of sit in on classes, you know, just to sort of, that's her training, right?
Is she having training on how to push the button?
Yeah.
And when does start? When does stop?
Yeah, so my boss, Tim, is like, well, could she sit on your listening class? I'm like, well, Tim, it's just me pushing a button,
yeah.
A start, stop. It's not really, there must be something more productive she can do.
Right.
Okay. So, I don't know.
Wow, so she got out of it?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Man. So, my listening class, I have to make them up tapes so they can listen to their tapes for the homework. So, you give the kids the tapes, and then, you know, the next week you check their homework. Oh, my God, you know, the tape was broken. Their tape player is broken. They lost their tape,
yeah.
Right? Oh, my God. So, fine. But they all have the internet. So the next month, I just made MP3s and I put it on the internet and told them where to download it, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So, and then there's one kid, Tommy, did you do your homework? No, teacher, my computer was broken. Uh-huh. All right. So, and then at the end of the class, I always ask them, it's like a Monday or Tuesday, I ask them, you know, what did you do on Sunday? And so I ask him, you know, what did you do on Sunday? I played computer games.
Uh-huh. On your broken computer?
Yeah, not the perfect crime. I sing to my kids to sort of punish them. but now they're actually starting to like it. Maybe it's like Stockholm Syndrome or something. They're now like requesting, teacher, sing again, please, teacher. And one thing I do is that, you know that song, Sing a Song?
Yes.
Sing a song, make it simple to last your whole life long. Don't worry if it's not good enough for anyone else to hear. Just sing a song. So I sing that to them, but much, much better. And, I pick one poor student as if I'm singing it to that poor student. And the kid's just, like, sinking down in his chair, like, oh, my God. And when you come to the end, you know, then they think that's the end. And then you hit them with the la, 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 la. Just like, oh, my God.
So, are there jazz hands involved?
So, but now I hear my kids actually singing that freaking song out in the hallway and not getting any of it right. And they're like, when I'm in the hall, teacher, how's that song go? I don't know. I just remember when I was a boy, my sister would sing that all the time. just to bother me, you know, because it would just be, it'd be like a Sunday and she had nothing to do and she was bored, and you know, and her idea of fun was just like, oh, I'm gonna, everywhere Carl goes, I'm gonna follow him into the room and I'm gonna sing that song endlessly.
That just would be entertaining though.
Yeah, but then, you know, payback is a bitch. She's a mother, and her son exhibits the same kind of, when he's bored, he will now follow his mother around, singing not that song, but his own song.
Oh.
Just singing it mindlessly to her irritation. Yeah.
It just makes me wish I had kids.
Oh God. And a little picture here. I'll post it. I had to photocopy. Yeah, I had to photocopy a kid's textbook because, you know, why would you give the teacher a textbook?
Yeah.
Right.
So,
and, you know, profoundly bored kid. So there's this picture of like a pirate sort of bending over, looking at a treasure map, and he draws a little stick figure, kind of giving the guy a dung chim. And I'm like, that's cool. So.
I'm surprised there's no steaming spiraled dome.
Well, maybe on another page.
Yeah.
Your kids do anything?
My
cute
kids.
Or irritating?
The funniest thing, actually, on Friday. On Friday, I have a kindergarten class. And there's four boys in the class.
Okay.
And they had all gone over to one of them's house to study together. And while they were studying, the little boy's mom farted at the table.
Oh, okay.
While she was helping them. And they
Bungu.
Yeah, they all reenacted the fart. And to hear them tell it, it was the loudest, most long-lived fart in the history of humankind. Like, they all showed me, like, just bending down until their chest touched their knees. And then they're, like, fanning out with their hands to show, like, the direction of it, like, shooting out of her.
That, well, as a French-Canadian, I don't think they got anything on on what French-Canadians can toot, but...
But it was just so funny because the mom... I've seen the mom, and she's, you know... always very well put together, and I can just imagine how pleased she would be to know that the stories that the children are telling behind her back.
Well, you know, I give my kids like cookies, and during the break, so one day they all came in en masse and just were mobbing my desk, you know, all their little hands all sort of in my face, and so I'm just kind of like, trying to get, you know, okay, get in a line. Like, just get in a line. This is kind of crazy. Like, and so the kids start to sort of get into a line, but it was the twins too.
Yeah.
And the little one, the littler twin, I don't know. There was another little boy, and then she maybe took his place or cut in front of him or something, and he just lets out this like taekwondo kick. Bam! Just kicks her. Screaming and crying, and oh my God. So, yeah, no one got cookies that day.
Good for you.
Yeah. Oh boy. Your kids ever fight in class or fight in the hall?
Not like that. Although there is some sort of feud going on in one of the classes.
Really?
Like, I've never seen them at it.
Okay.
But my class is really fast paced. We don't have a lot of time for chit chat.
All right.
So, I think in their other class, when the teacher's writing on the board.
Okay.
That they somehow find time to sort of antagonize each other. And one of the two kids involved is this sort of nice kid, but he's kind of clueless.
All
he's got this really high, screechy voice.
Okay.
Kind of like Screech on
Saved
by
the
Bell.
Okay.
The other one is kind of a know-it-all.
Okay.
And he's got good English skills, but he thinks he's got perfect English skills.
Okay.
And beyond perfect English skills, he thinks he really knows everything. And so whenever the other kid comes up with something that's, you know, wrong.
Okay.
He takes extreme delight in correcting him to the fullest of his ability.
Oh, jeez.
You know. And, like if he's pointed at something and said, is that a thesaurus? And it's not a thesaurus, it's an encyclopedia. Then the other kid would go on to like a 5-minute diatribe on the history of the encyclopedia and how it's not a thesaurus.
This kid, I think, has got a brilliant career as a network administrator.
Yes, yeah, some
he's
kind
got
of
the personality.
Yeah. So the sort of hapless kid, the not know it all, gets upset.
Okay.
You know. And there may be some pencil lead throwing involved. I don't
all right.
know. Weapon of choice of children in Korea.
At least they're not using their little knives. They're blade weapons. They
right.
carry.
I don't allow knives in class.
All right.
I'm American. Just say no to knives.
Oh, God.
This week's teaching opportunity.
Job opportunity of the week. I don't think this is a bad job. Not like last week's job.
Yeah, this school, the one in Pundong, Itsune, that's not hiring.
Okay.
If you work for them for 3 years, they put you up in the Royal Palace.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the Royal Palace?
It's a really nice apartment at Itsune Station.
Ah, okay. Ooh.
Not in fact a palace or...
Okay.
Royal,
okay.
But a nice apartment nonetheless.
Oh, I thought you meant like a hotel, Royal Hotel or something. You said Royal Hotel, and I was thinking Royal Hotel, but then I'm like the Royal Hotel, that's in Myeongdong. It's not a particularly great hotel.
Yeah.
So, what is it? JLS, Jungsang Language School. Let's see. You know, they're hiring for like 4 branches.
Yeah.
Junge, which... that's sort of my area.
Okay.
Junge. And Gangdong. Gangdong is like around the Olympic Park.
Okay.
And that's kind of
that's
a cool...
That's a nice area.
Yeah, that's a nice area.
Very green.
Yeah. Suji. Where's
Which
Suji?
Is... Suji is the next town after Pundong.
Next town after Pundong?
Yeah. So I live at the end of Pundong by Ori Station.
Okay.
And so then next is Jukjeon.
Okay.
Which is where all the outlets are. And then the next thing is Suji.
Ah. Okay.
So between Pundong and Yongin.
Ah, right. Okay. Wait, is that on the subway line? Suju?
No.
Is there Suju? No, not a Suju.
It will be eventually,
okay.
I'm sure.
All right. And then Pyeongchang.
I have no idea
what that is. Yeah. I would say the Gangdong branch is your best bet. Starting mid-January too, so after the holidays. Let's see.
It's a children's hagwon.
Yeah, teaching kids.
And they prefer people with 1 year plus experience and experience living in Korea.
All right.
Of course, certification.
I don't know what they're going to do with the whole new visa stuff, but we'll talk about that in a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Salary, 2.3 million won a month. That's a good salary. 1 week summer, 1 week winter holidays. You probably don't. So it sounds like they have fixed holidays. You don't take your time. Yeah. Teacher is responsible for arranging their own ticket to Korea. 1.2 million won will be given to the teacher. So.
At their first paycheck. So a month after they arrive.
Yeah. So you're gonna have to have some cash in the bank if you're kind of one of those people who doesn't have cash in the bank. But that's good when you can arrange your own flight, because then you're not they're not flying you from like Toronto to, you know, Dallas Fort Worth to Taipei to Tokyo to Korea.
Yeah.
You know. And wow, we save $100.
Yeah. Rose's ticket out of Korea when she finished her contract involved, I don't know, like a 58-hour layover in Taipei or something really silly like that.
Jeez.
She was not too impressed, especially since it was because it was a Chinese airline. And that really never inspires confidence.
Yeah. So, I don't know. So, again, it's a pretty much your standard contract. Looks decent enough. Lots of
time. Oh, they do the pension. So the pension is good if you are North American.
Okay.
if you are Australian and perhaps also New Zealand, because they're usually the same,
okay.
you do not get the money back.
Okay.
And if the school does the pension, then it's automatically taken out of your check as well.
All right.
So it's 4.5% out of your check, and they match it equally.
All right.
And then if you're North American and some other countries, when you leave, you get all of the money. So your share and the school's share.
Right, yes.
If you are Australian and I think New Zealand as well, when you leave, you've lost it all.
You don't get your
holding?
You
don't get even what you put in, nothing.
Oh, that's not so good. All right, so sucks
so
to be Australian. So
a little FYI for those who are from Australia.
All right. Yeah. The new visa requirements. It's getting insaner all the time. Nothing's been finalized.
Of course not.
But I think in the new year they're going to pass the law. And I'm sure
institute it that day.
Yeah. And it does look like they're going to go at the police checks, even for just a Hagwon teacher, not a public school teacher. But I don't think they're quite recognizing that, you know, it takes months to get the police check. All right. That's a problem. Also, the problem, too, is there may no longer be a visa run to Japan. Like, if you change schools and can't transfer your visa, the new school will send you to Japan, get your new visa there, come back. But now it looks like you might have to go all the way back to your own home nation.
Yeah.
Which
sucks.
Yeah. So if you're already in Korea, there was a certain job advantage there because you're cheap hire.
Yeah. They can have a face-to-face interview, and you've proved that you can live in Korea.
Yeah. Exactly.
And your experience.
Yeah. But now to hire somebody in Korea means flying them home, flying them back to Korea, and then flying them home one more time. So it's a three-ticket hire versus a two-ticket hire.
Except that when you hire teachers within Korea, you usually don't get a ticket home. So they would just have to pay for a ticket.
Oh, really? Okay.
Back
yeah.
to the visa.
All right. Well, that's something to... Because I would expect a ticket home. I don't know.
You could probably negotiate it with some schools.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because, I mean, theoretically, my old school, previous school, should have paid for my ticket home. I don't know. Oh. So, yeah. But then it's like, you know, if it's going to take months to get a police report, right? If it's going to take some places 4 months, I've read.
Oh,
to
the
get
U.S. didn't it say 5 to 6?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's going to make hiring new teachers really... very hard, where Korea wants to hire on the last moment.
And imagine what it's going to be like for the teachers if you have to give 7 to 8 months notice if you're going to resign or not.
Yeah, they'll want to know that, won't they? Yeah.
Because they've got to hire a new teacher. So basically, when you're 3 or 4 months in, you've got to give them your final answer. And quite frankly, most of us know how teachers get treated.
They're not going to resign. Yeah.
The lame duck teachers don't have quite the... favorite teacher status that they would have had if they said they're going to resign.
But on the flip side, I'm thinking, okay, now if you're at a school and they know it, now it will take them 4 months to replace you.
Yeah.
How are they going to, if they treat you like crap, you leave, they're not getting another white dancing bear for 4 months. Mothers are not going to be happy signing checks over because they want their kids in a room with a white dancing bear. Sure, he shouldn't be like, you know, let's play Uncle Tom and, you know, you're the panty parade or something like that, right? You know, so it seems to me that on the flip side, it might give you a certain leverage over your school.
It depends on your director. I think some directors really think they're like so in that Korean mindset of I'm the boss and you're my subordinate. Like, I think to some bosses, it really just doesn't occur to them that a teacher would get fed up enough to quit.
No. Okay.
You know?
Yeah. Because the Korean teachers sure don't.
Right. and they put up with a lot worse.
Yeah, I know. They just put up with endless amounts of insane, like, abuse and contract changes and they don't quit.
Yeah. I really think at my first school that the Korean teachers were required to dress in a, I won't say seductive way.
Okay.
But definitely something inappropriate for teaching elementary school students, you know.
Oh, really?
And it was like so across the board. And I worked with like 30 Korean teachers. It was unanimous in the way that they dressed that I really think that it had to be kind of his rule.
No.
You know?
You know, when I worked in companies in North America, if there was a woman boss, the women tended to dress really well. They're all very competitive in their dress. If there was a male boss, they didn't compete in their dress. I mean, you wouldn't definitely see a total change. If the boss changed sex, the women in office changed their style of dress. So women bosses had, the women would all dress up, be very competitive, and a male boss, the women would not dress competitively. But then I noticed the reverse case here in Korea, when we had a lot of female head teachers, the women in the office just dressed, you know, jeans, sweatshirts. And then we had like a male boss, oh my God, they all completely, you know, short skirts and knee socks and, you know, like completely different dress, you know. And so it's almost like kind of reverse, you know. Because in North America, they always say, you know, women always say, you know, I don't dress for men, I dress for other women.
Yeah.
Because they are my critics, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas I think it is truly the reverse in Korea, where women are dressing for the man here. I don't know. So I guess the long and the short of it is, if you're really keen on coming to teach in Korea, you might want to look at getting the police check started.
Yeah.
Checking into that, how much, that sort of stuff.
And I feel obligated to point out once again that Christopher Neal had never been arrested before.
Yeah.
So he would have gotten the police check just fine, even though he was, like, trying to get out of it.
Yeah.
He did not have a police record, so I don't know what his problem was.
And there's been no complaints from any of his students here.
Yeah.
Have you heard any report about his students coming forward? Exactly. Yeah.
And you have to think that their parents are like, are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Never?
Yeah, exactly. Because in North America, I think parents would sure do that. I'm going to find the psychiatrist that will find my child has been, you know, abused and kept in bird cages and, you know, burned in satanic rituals. And
And then sue the school.
Exactly. And start digging up the school's backyard looking for the dungeons.
Yeah.
Exactly. But, yeah, I mean, he's a sick bastard, but like I said, I think he's just one of those sick bastards that was like, you know, in my own nest, I am a normal person. When I go abroad, then this is just the tourist thing, you know.
Well, but the most salient point is here, he was the sick guy with a clean police record.
Exactly, clean police record, and for all...
He could, you know, even if he had been required to get the police check, he would have been just fine.
From all reports, led a clean life here in Korea. A lot of people seem to know him, and never thought anything. You know, he was just your typical English teacher, kind of a bit odd, you know, a little bit of a wallflower, but we're all that, you know, here. It's like...
Did not stand out.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So, right. So, you might want to look at prices, get the ball rolling, that sort of stuff. Other thing I heard is when sending your documents to Korea, you have to send your transcripts.
Yes.
And the transcripts have to be sealed.
Yes.
And have to have your school stamp or something.
Yes.
All right. Because, you know, God forbid you open that envelope, right, and put in your own transcripts. All right, so fine. And then someone was saying they're trying to use DHL, and DHL is a policy where they want to look at all...
Make sure that you don't have an anthrax-covered letter or something.
Yeah, they want to look inside all your documents. So, don't go to DHL.
They certainly have enough competitors that you don't have to use DHL.
Yeah, FedEx, they don't want to look. But I'm like, that's insane, because, I mean, if you were like a...
It goes through an x-ray machine that can see through both envelopes just fine.
Yeah. But if, let's say, you were a business and you wanted to send out a draft of your, you know, your quarterly report, your earnings report, right? You don't want some guy behind the counter, DHL, opening up that envelope and going... Oh, you made record profits. All right. You know, I noticed 2 days in advance.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to buy shares in the company, right? You don't want that. So I don't understand.
Yeah.
But yeah, watch for it. All right. That's our show. You know, when I bought that soju, You know, I go into the convenience store and, you know, I'm the foreigner.
Yeah.
And there's a woman behind the counter. And I'm not just buying what I want. You know, just picking something up at the shelf and going. I'm looking at everything.
Yeah.
Right? Going, okay, is this funny? Can I make fun of that? You know, what is this? Have we done that before? I'm looking at everything. And I'm trying to decide between something called queen potato. Or, you know, or this strange Jinro beverage. And I'm taking a long time to decide, looking at everything. So the woman, the poor woman's got to be like...
They do kind of freak out if you take your time at the convenience store.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got like 87 seconds and you need to be out the door.
Exactly.
That's really pushing it.
Yeah. So, and she, you know, she's alone.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, ooh, this is, maybe this is freaking her out. This is freaking her out. And then, sure, well, what do I buy? Sure,
soju.
Buy the soju. Yeah.
She probably just thinks you're an alcoholic.
That's $1.30, that bottle. That's cheap drunk, man.
It is.
God. Cotisol.
Oh, the meeting was yesterday. So the next meeting
okay.
is our December Christmas dinner right. meeting.
What day is that on?
The third Saturday.
Third Saturday?
I don't know the date. You can find it on the website, cotisol.org. You do have to pay for the dinner. If you are a Cotisol member, you get a subsidized dinner.
Okay.
I want to say it's 31-ish. 30,000 won, sorry.
All right.
It is like the full spread. You have a choice of vegetarian or traditional, and I think also a choice of chocolate cake or pumpkin pie for dessert.
Okay. Right.
But it's always a delicious meal, and it's always a fun time.
All right. That's December 15th.
Thank you.
Third Saturday, yeah. So, and Christmas falls upon a Tuesday.
Yes, it
so,
does.
Yeah.
Right. Which means New Year's also does.
Yep.
Yeah, I think the last couple of years they've been on like Saturday and then Sunday.
All right. Don't matter. Yeah. I always, my coworkers, I always, Christmas Eve, I always bring in wine and cheese and Christmas cake and I lay them out a nice spread.
Wow.
Yeah. I made them bacon, lettuce, tomato sandwiches last Friday. Because, you know, I'm going in.
Yeah.
Well, I work a couple of classes now, but you know.
An hour and a half?
Yeah. So I think Friday, sometimes I'll bring them in food on Friday. They love the BLTs. Like, because, like, you know sandwiches here. Another one of those. Similar but different, you know.
Yeah.
Sandwiches here are just, like, the most random assortment
yeah.
of ingredients.
I've got some microwave bacon. I think I'll put some American cheese that doesn't melt. Maybe some honey.
Yeah. Jam.
Jam, yeah.
Ooh, yeah, cabbage.
Yeah.
Onions,
coleslaw.
Yeah. And sweet potato.
Right, sweet potato mousse. Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah.
Make it fancy.
Mushy sweet potato, right.
Yeah.
And a sprig of mint, and that is that's a sandwich, right? So yeah, so the idea of like you know, put it, a piece of bread, some lettuce, some crispy bacon, some tomato, a little bit of mayo, and a dash of salt. Never occurred to them, and it's just like this is the most amazing thing, Carl. How did you ever think to put put these ingredients together?
And then you're like the genius.
Yeah.
Crispy bacon. Fresh ingredients with lettuce to keep the bread from getting soggy. You're such a genius.
But yeah, I mostly work a lot of middle-aged married women. So I think, like I may have mentioned before, that, you know, the a man is cooking for them and serving them,
yeah.
you know.
Right.
I think they find that a little bit of a gas up. You know?
Yeah.
So, hey, that's different. That's so funny. You know?
Yeah. I think Thanksgiving is this week, and we always do potluck at school.
At your school, okay. I was going to ask you about that. You got that Thanksgiving holiday coming
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I usually cook the main dish because I was,
okay.
like, always the married teacher. But I think this year, because it's kind of a pain, too, because I'm the only one who
okay.
actually has to take the subway to work. So this year, I think I'm just going to make some carrot cake.
Oh,
and
that's a good stuff.
Well, I'm going to make it on Thursday, so I don't know if it'll still be delicious on Sunday.
Okay.
But we'll see if I can work you something up. Yeah, I'll let somebody else handle the main course this year.
Oh, speaking about Christmas cooking, you know, I found ginger.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I took a little picture. It's called Sengang. Sengang.
Sengang karu. So sengang is ginger, but karu is powder.
Ah.
So ground ginger, not karu. Just a stick of ginger.
Right. All right, so Sengang. Sengang River. Sengsengnim.
Fresh River.
Fresh River. Well, Sengsengnim. Sengseng, like highest virtue. Nim, highest. Sengseng, I know. So Virtue River. All right. Seng. What is Seng something else?
Seng is also fresh.
Fresh. Oh, okay. Fresh River.
Yeah, that was one of my sort of false friends things. The Sengogi.
Sengogi.
If you go to some restaurants
right,
or
yes,
butchers,
about that last
have
week, right,
Sengogi.
Yeah. Right, okay.
And I always, for the longest, I thought that meant fresh meat, not rotten meat.
Okay. So I like to make my kids the gingerbread cookies.
Yeah.
Which I've talked about before. They just think it's the most wonderful thing in the world. But it's like, this is miserable crap, kids. Can't even get the eyes on right on the little gingerbread teddy bears. You know, like the, you know, one eye is where the eye is, and one eye is more down where the mouth should be. But it's close enough. That's the way I work.
Right.
That's the way I roll, Jennifer.
Right.
All right. It's close enough. I want to get on with my life. I'm
right.
Making, you know, 8 dozen of these.
Yeah. Do you have an oven?
What? Toaster oven. And it's even harder too when you're making.
Oh my god,
yeah.
A toaster oven? That must take you like 27 hours.
Yeah. It's a little project. I do it for the love, Jennifer. Alright, send us email at go. So if I say at, that'll confuse people, then they'll put in at. Send us email. Internet email.
To.
Oh, thank you. To. Oh, that's a good preposition. To. To. T-O space GoKorea at gmail.com www.gokorea.info. Like I never really mention it, but you know, I should mention it once in a while. That's where I actually archive our old shows. The iTunes site has the last 4 shows. That's the high bandwidth, using somebody else's bandwidth. But then I move the old shows onto the gokorea.info site. So if you're ever sort of looking, where are the old shows,
yeah.
That's where they are.
In case like 2 hours a week of us is not enough,
yeah.
And you need more.
Yeah, pretty soon you'll be able to listen to one show every week for a whole solid year.
Yeah.
Look for it. But and then that site will become important, I guess, in the not-too-distant future, because of probably the Soul Survivors, the iTunes site will not be updated and may disappear or something. Unless you somehow want to take it over, Jennifer. Well,
you have to show me what to do.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in future. I'll give you the mics.
I've got some.
Yeah. All right. And so the old shows are on that site, and I will maintain that as long as humanly possible. Because gokorea.info, that might have some future value. Until there's a new .com boom and someone comes along and like, we'll give you $5 million for that Earl. Okay. Yeah. I've got a 4-letter domain, which not really that... Not many 4-letter domains available these days, and doesn't form a nice, cool word. Forms a geometric term.
Okay.
But but no one has ever offered me large amounts of money. Not like in the old days.
Not like you had a website called McDonald's.com.
Right, McDonald's.com or yeah. Remember one of my friends. His friend. Long time ago, had registered road.com, ROAD.com, and so around like the year 2000, like people were literally showing up at his house with like cashier's checks, you know, like sell me that domain name now, and not like even polite about it, like as if like you know you'll take $25,000, and the guy's like, oh, I'm pretty sure it's worth more than that, no, take the $25,000 now. And he
I assure you it's not in my weapon in my hand.
Exactly. Oh no, literally he got an email from the Russian mafia telling him we are coming to Canada with, you know, a cashier's check for like $50,000. You will accept that. So he had to get like the, well, the Canadian CIA called CSIS. He actually had to get them involved.
Oh man, too bad it wasn't the Mounties. That'd be cool.
Yeah. So my friend had an internet company, and then he eventually negotiated the sale of that domain, and it was like a couple million bucks. He got 10%. So that was a pretty nice payday, $200,000, just for like selling letters.
Yeah.
Oh, the good old days, Jennifer. The good old days. All right. Bye bye.
Bye.
Sing a song. Sing out loud. Sing out strong. Sing of good things, not bad. Sing of happy, not sad.